Hello from the edit, it's Future Alvin.
Yeah, so it's Cameron here.
Hi guys, Justin here.
Hey, it's your girl T here on After Sundown Podcast.
Are you locked into the After Sundown Podcast?
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy.
It's about to be a mazzoline still.
It's best to, yeah, new bumper and that.
Nah, I had that for time still. You just didn't see it. It's in my shed.
Oh, chilling.
It's been in my shed for time.
I hope the fox died. That you.
I hope the fox died as well.
Nah, you not taking facts. The mic.
Facts? Nah, because you can't do that to man's got car and live and walk off. What?
That's like, that's like the badger, bro. The badger had to die still.
That's him turned back around.
The badger. I saw the badger rolling in my rear view, bro.
Oi, the animal people are going to be like, yo.
Hey, bond them. What's your week saying, Lyndon?
My week was blessed, you know. Yeah. I really didn't. Sometimes I have to think back and actually remember. You know, when you just give answers, fam, you're just like, yeah, my week was blessed, man. And then you read back and someone died from
Wait,
that.
Did the 21st happen and died? Did Boris announce the 21st this week?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nah, that's just that's just a,
no, I'm not sure.
Nah, he did it. Not this week, but the week before. That's just a plan, isn't it?
Oh.
It's not
gonna push it back and we're all gonna be sad.
Nah, if the rates stay low, then it's gonna be calm.
He's gonna push it back and we're all gonna be sad.
Nah, it's not. Nah, just have faith and believe in me. I believe in my Prime Minister. My
birthday is that weekend.
Boris.
I believe in my PM.
I am here for my champion.
Let's gas him up, but we have to
I'm
gas
here
him
for
up
my champion. Hey. I vote Conservative.
He's chosen by the monarchy.
I vote Conservative for the rest of my life, bruv. Hey, fun that, bruv. Fun Jeremy and them.
Them man would have had us in lockdown for like a couple years to come. 2022, we've seen
that. Them man would have had us out. Hospitals would have been overrun.
People alarm, please.
I would have been tired even more now.
Yeah, you get me. You've been finished,
I would have been told to help everyone.
Yeah, so...
Okay, so basically in this episode we're going to be talking about identity, and obviously the questions formulated by Mr. Fuller, well, the questions were formulated by Mr. Fuller, so we're just going to read the first one, which is
the grammatically correct ones, by the way.
Stay calm. Okay, how would describe the person
Oh, Cameron,
what's going on, man?
Yeah? You know what? Basically, I was figuring out the questions. I was talking to Abigail in it, and then I was trying to write the questions that she was saying down. So then it just all messed up, and then it was just sad after that. So
you didn't edit that.
Linda, say your one, bro. Say the one.
You know what? It's Kill Cameron Day.
Do y'all have y'all hidden that? No, it literally says, "Do you have you a hidden identity?"
That's how I meant to say it.
Did you edit them?
No, I probably didn't.
I just read them correct.
No, but okay.
I can't. No.
You're a teacher. That's why.
Nah, okay.
She read through my mistakes, thanks, Key.
Wow. So. I think what Cameron's trying to say is that, like, are your friends a good representation of your identity? I'm gonna start with that one.
That's a good year.
Have they always been a good representation of your identity?
Can answer that if you want. You can answer that, like, can answer it in its totality, or answer it.
Me personally, I think they have, because mainly they've stemmed from either school or church.
Yeah,
and that's not even necessarily a good thing, actually. But yeah, I've just had calm people around, man, all the time. Really, I think anyway. I've just always had real, real people around me all the time. So. I don't think there's ever been a time where I thought, oh, are you bringing me down, or there's certain people along the way that, you know, I'm gonna have to just cut them off, you know what I'm saying? But apart from that, bro.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what, though? I feel like it's in the same instance, my friends have never been like, to the extent where I'm like, rah, I can't actually hang around with you kind of thing. But I realized afterwards when I did get wholesome friends that it was like, yo, this is a big difference. So I was able to walk in my identity more.
Jeez.
More properly, you get me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when I jumped in church, when I knew that most people was on the same thing, innit? So I was like, well, yeah.
On the same wavelength, would you say?
Yeah. Well, to a certain extent.
I was thinking, I was watching, remember that girl that I sent you, the one that was in that trafficking, human trafficking thing. Yeah. Have you guys seen it? This Easy, have you mentioned the last Easy Man interview?
What's her name, actually?
She's from that northern girl, innit?
Yeah, she's from Brom.
She's from Brom or Manchester.
She
moved to Brom.
Okay.
The last guy that she was with, the Donny who got caught by floods.
Yeah.
He was in Brom. He was based in Brom.
Yeah, because I was Mason Don. Yeah, because I was thinking about her brother and about how much, like, in terms of the whole identity thing, like how much her identity got switched up in it, and obviously she was able to, like, because she was talking about it from the standpoint of when she was younger, always looking up, like hanging around like older people or whatever. So I wanted to ask anyone here, have you ever been influenced by someone older, whether it be good or bad or whatever, and how has that influenced man's identity, like, now?
Definitely, I'd say I have.
Yeah.
So when I was younger, how I started playing. Oh. Like when I started playing saxophone, you won't hear me there.
He's just recording himself.
When I started playing saxophone, it was because of older people. So, like, they saw that one day I brought a recorder to church.
Why is my laughing though?
Oh, go on, tell your story.
Listen.
One day I brought the recorder to church. You
the one with the white tip and the black.
That's the one. And then I played it and it was okay. It wasn't too bad. I was able to sort of kind of play tune. And then eventually, one of the members of my church loaned me her saxophone, and she sold it to me for like next to nothing, for £70 or something like that.
Fair play.
And I would always jam, like every single Sabbath afternoon after A1, I would just be there jamming. They had a really good influence on me, they're the ones who sort of brought me into like music, but more of a technical understanding of music, being able to read and whatnot.
Okay, anyone else that had like older figure, either for the good or bad, that was like Linda's got a few people on his mind, you know.
Yo.
Now, you know what? For me, okay, because half my family's in church, the other half ain't really as much in it. So there's certain family members, not going to name who, that I was just around that wasn't the best in it. But obviously, I'd still go to church and then be around all the other church people or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then I'm going to, like, my other family side. And you know, the thing is, my family's not bad like that, innit? But you know, like, maybe you've got like just older figures that are like you're looking at and stuff like that. So, but I always looked at the people that always gravitated to better things. I just wasn't on certain stuff, innit? So I think I knew myself quite early in the sense of what I wanted to do, what I didn't want to do, what I wanted to participate in, what I didn't want to participate in, because I think I had a longer vision of what I wanted to do. But if I didn't, and if I didn't have good examples around me, it would have been sad.
Facts.
If I only had certain type of examples around me, I would have been a madman. Because
you look at them and you automatically just think, like, you're not the one still.
Yeah.
But you know they're not a terrible influence. It's just that where you want to be, it exceeds that, innit?
Yeah.
Like, when you're around them, it's not an uncomfortability, but you're not satisfied with where you are just being around them, innit?
Mm-hmm.
So there was one, he was a yardie, right? But he wasn't a yardie, innit? Like, he's like the most rasta African brother that it's like, yeah, man, he was
you know,
listen, you know, in certain communities in Africa, right, like the certain communities in Gambia, right? And them man are basically Rastas blood.
Yeah.
And I remember I would always chill with him in it because I used to work with him, and I just used to go to his yard, and we just used the hot box in his baby mom's kitchen, fam.
Screaming.
Yo.
It's a lifestyle.
You get me?
You get me? It's like wife beater settings, you get me? Man's got the beater.
Come on.
Man's got the beater on, blood. Or the string vest, fam. It's the string vest settings, blood, where there's bare uncles and cousins around, and they're all Gambian blood. And man are just sitting there with his bag of weed. Everyone's got their bag of weed. Everyone's rolling up. And there's just a hot box in the kitchen talking about anything with some tunes on.
How old was he?
Huh?
How old?
He was... I'd say at the time he was in his 40s.
And you were?
I was like 18, 19.
On the border.
It's a delicate flower.
Yeah.
Delicate flower. He was a seasoned veteran.
No, he was hotboxing, bro. Nah, because I was kind of saying a similar thing, because I had, again, I don't know if I remember that. And he was like, what did he say to me, bro? He said, I think I was young. I think I was either 13. I was in secondary school, and I remember just talking to him one time, and he's like, you're a virgin. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, he was like going in on me for it, bro. I was like, rah. And he was like, you know, do you know them like Jamaican people, bro? They're just like, rah. I got this herb. You get me? It's always an herb. It's always a drink. It's always a tonic or something, bro.
You're going to put lead in your pencil.
You get me? So, like, that was my little experience in terms of, like, obviously.
It's an Irish marshmallow.
You get me? And, obviously, it is what it is, isn't it? So, different people live their life differently, isn't it? But I think that was my little experience of, like, seeing a bit of pressure as well, kind of on my identity and it as a Christian. So it's kind of tested then, in it, like, why would you even say that, in it? But I was cool though. I was comfortable in whatever path I was going down in it, and yeah, it didn't really affect me, but it was just a funny one, in it, like, he'd always be like, yo, you pressed, yeah. And I was like, nah.
Walks, man.
Bro, all right, cool. So showing your true colours then. So what does that mean then? When have you shown your true colours, bruv?
When have I shown my true colours? Do you know what? It's hard to know when you're in that transition of reinventing your identity, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to know what your true colours are.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Kind of.
So I came from, I mean, Lyndon, I wasn't smoking, but we lived the same kind of lifestyle, you know? And then we came, we found the Lord, and we are now here.
Amen.
However, that bit in the middle is a bit like wishy-washy. You know what I mean? It's a bit like Saturday Sabbath or Saturday party.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You don't really know which
100%.
Which one is your true colours, because you want the... I mean, 100% you can go church and then, like,
just after.
Yeah, I'd go church and go home and bong ganja, fam.
Well, I mean, that's it then, do you know what I mean?
When the sun sets.
It's hard to say you were showing your true colours. If I was showing my true colours, it's kind of hard to know what your true colours are when you're in that transition period.
All right. Anyone else, like, show it? When did your true colours come out? Like,
I think this touches on what we were saying before. So, like, the true colours would be the variable that doesn't change. It's like, if I want that, but I'm over here, right? What's over here isn't my true colours. It's just what I'm doing. True colours is what I actually want.
All right. Well, okay. What would you say is the one characteristic that hasn't changed about you?
Right. So, again... Throughout it also, like what Key was saying, throughout my whole journey of Christianity, it's always been me wanting to serve God. Like, that's my whole thing, innit?
Oh, okay.
Right? But my own behaviour, my own heart, my own desires have stopped that. But my true colours, I'd say when my true colours came out is when I didn't let any of that stop me from, you know, persisting in faith in it. So I'll give an example. Something that when you asked the question the first time, this is exactly what came to my head. I remember the time I went into my house and everyone was, I don't know what was happening before, but literally like almost preaching to my whole household. And not only that, but kind of like mediating between people when people are like aren't reconciling and stuff like that, because I'd done it with them. So I was showing my true colors by being a reconciliation when someone offended me in my home. And then when that, when two other people weren't speaking in my home, then I could be the mediator for them because I'd done that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I was showing my true colors because I was finally being the thing that I wanted to be.
Okay.
But are they your true colours? Are they your true colours? Because that is what you wanted to be. But from 18, from 0 to 18, that's not who you were. So can true colours just appear? Are they really true? Or do you know what I mean? They've just, to me, they've just appeared. So I would say my only true colours are my personality, because that my personality hasn't changed. My behaviour has changed a lot. But I still am who I am. Who I was before is to like who I am now. I'm not going to change that. But in terms of my actions and what I outwardly do, that's changed.
But even that comes from somewhere though, innit? Where what you do comes from, like your behaviour comes from somewhere. And obviously you've got the personality and then you've got the character, innit? One changes, one doesn't. But both outwardly come from somewhere. So it's like, it's those principles that don't change. And I think all of that is centered in who, like almost who you was always meant to be. Do you see what I mean? So like the thing, as you get older and you're on a consistent one, it's like, well, surely that's the true colours, because from early, it seems like it was all leading up to this anyway. Personality, character-wise, everything was leading up to
the road. Do you ever find like, okay, so before you guys came, before... So after you guys are now here or whatever, do you ever find true colours coming back? Like do they create, and how do you deal with those?
Say that again.
And so do you ever find like your true colours coming back?
I was just gonna comment on what Key said. But like I think I might be in agreement with sort of Key with what, cause, like my question is, or my, the way, the question I would ask is like what would the biblical metaphor that God uses would be like he'll talk about the heart either being flesh or stone amongst other metaphors that he uses. So like when he says he will change our hearts from a heart of stone to it and he will give us a heart of flesh, to me, that seems to be suggesting that who we are now and sort of like the things that we prefer, the things that we like, are, to me, are our true colours. And then he wants to make us different. He wants to make our, he wants to like change our colours, is how I sort of see it.
So that makes sense, actually, yeah.
Like when, like Romans, what's Romans 7 verse 15, when it says, when Paul is saying, the good that I like to do, I don't do, and the bad that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. And then he ends up going, saying, oh wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of hell, later on he says. I feel like he's then saying, there's only one person who can deliver us from sort of who we are, and who can make us, who can make us who we want to be, because, but also who can make us who he wants us to be. Because sometimes I think that, I know that there are times when who I, what I want to do and what I am is not what I want to do and not what I want to be, but also not what Christ wants me to be or am, if that I don't.
you're saying a lot of what I am, what I do, what I say, what I mean. Like, you're saying a lot of stuff. I'm kind of following what you're saying. So like, when you obviously look at what I saw before and then going into Paul, then that statement there makes complete sense. Like, the colours are still there, their presence. So like, there's that struggle between what God wants to make you versus what you are.
You see, I would say personally, like, because there's many stories going, there's many stories that's gone around of, in like, you hear drug dealers now getting into the church and now they're running. For example, my Alda told me that there was a drug dealer who, like, he basically ran drugs, big operation, big drug dealer, went prison, done his rehabilitation, came out, and now, like, he went to missionary, done missionary work. So he's still doing the same thing, like running drugs. Oh, not running drugs. But instead of running drugs, he's running tracks.
Right.
He's not running tracks, but, like, you know what I mean? Just on that level, he's running tracks.
Basically, so, like, Jesus,
is it just, like, literally just taking out your identity, your skills that you've kind of gained when you was younger, your skills that you've gained in life, and kind of now just transferring them.
So you're standing on the corner for the...
Oh, allow that talk, man.
No, but that's essentially what he's doing,
though. He's not standing on the corner no more, because he's running the big thing.
As in, like, I can only say Joseph.
Yeah, basically, not even on the corner, but like, he's literally running, like, he's flying planes.
No, I understand,
like,
what you're saying.
Big things. Mm. So obviously, like, for example, with me, with for me, I'm an outgoing person. I'll speak to anyone. I don't care how I speak to them. I'll speak to them any way I want to.
Right.
I will do that, like, no, but it's a thing where, like, I'll still do that to, like, any old person. Like, but obviously I've been like that from since I was like a young age.
There's someone in care. Here that say, "Why are you lying, bruv?"
Cammy, don't start. I'm a lion.
I agree with Justice.
Nah, like, you know, I feel like I can speak. I'll speak to person. If I want to say a joke to you, I'll say a joke
to you.
I can say that he just
speaks
his truth.
Exactly.
Yeah. No.
It's one of those ones, yeah, where, like, me being that person now, I'm actually taking it into everywhere I go. So obviously, if I speak to someone on the street, I'll still speak to them with banter. Mm-hmm. People like that, you can approach more people doing that rather than just being that whole how's your day? Kind of all shy and timid.
Yeah,
it's just one of those things where, like, my identity hasn't changed. I'm sure, like, people's identity, they can, like...
And no matter where you literally go, no one can't say you're different here.
Exactly.
You are in church, you're different at work,
and you are anywhere else. And that right there is another big thing as well, because obviously my brother as well, he's like a big church mogul. Me, I am the black sheep. You get me? I'm the black sheep. So people looking at me are like, raw. You're nothing like your brother, but, like, I'm glad for that, because I am nothing like my brother. I am not Wesley. I am Justin. Yeah. So, yeah, the fact that I wear tracksuits to church, it's cold, it's me, it's Justin.
Change?
Huh?
Is that ever going to change?
No. I can answer that for
just
you.
Just checking.
Now they're upgraded to jeans, so, like, that's not really nothing, don't it? But, yeah, but obviously for identity, that's one of the things. I'm sure, like, you Handsworth, man, I've got the same thing, though. No?
I think for me, I think growing up and then seeing, like, for example, the Doug Batchelors and the, like, you know, them American, like, evangelists, and, like, seeing how like they act and behave, it can kind of make you feel like you have to also act and behave as they do, but you're not them and you haven't had the same experience. So there's certain things that I am, obviously we're saying that our behavior has to change, but your personality, we've reiterated on this podcast a few times, like, does that have to change? Like, I've got a friend from uni, and, like, she said to me the other day, so she was like, yeah, like, you kind of not the what I'd expect someone like you to behave like.
Did they say SDA as well?
Not SDA, because they know I'm SDA, but, like, more Christian anyway. But their basic point was that, if you just to see me or whatever on the road, maybe late night or whatever, you might be
across the road.
Obviously, I'm not the most intimidated. I'm not 6'7", you know what I'm saying? But she's basically saying like,
midgets out there,
I'm actually friendly, I'm actually cool, I'm actually, like,
yeah,
got certain values that she wouldn't expect if she just seen me in it.
Okay,
so
yeah,
that's what I'm trying to say in it, like. And the thing is, Doug Batchelor and all them, like, them, they didn't start off like that. They was raggedy as well, bruv. You get me? Like,
raggedy.
Man lived in a cave, bruv. Man lived in a cave, bro.
It's a bit rough.
Raggedy.
Yeah, but he was raggedy, bro. Doug Batchelor was raggedy, bro. I can't live in a cave and not be raggedy, bro. You get me? Shout out Doug, innit? We want you on the podcast, bro. We want you on the podcast.
And
Ted as well. Ted, is it Ted? Is it Ted? Ted Wilson.
Ted Wilson.
Yeah, my G, Ted. But, that's it, really. I think people have a perception of what you're supposed to be like, and then you just kind of you can also be like that as well.
Kind of another thing I want to touch on as well, like for example, me for example, I don't know if you'd have had, you can say your experiences after as well, but like for example, me talking to a lot of girls, for example, I can use that now.
Man said I can use I'm that skill to be fishes of men.
Not even that. The note is like, obviously at a young age, I can't lie, let me be honest here, like let me be transparent as well. I used to think that if I talk to a guy about my feelings, bro, he's gay. You know what I mean? And I'm sure that I hope I'm not the only one, because like
no 100%. I'm sure
everyone else like that.
Back in the day, I was bro. You think man's toxic now? I was toxic.
younger days, exactly. Bro, younger days, but like now it's like, now being honest, I could talk to Javin. I don't know if you want to beat that name out, but like I could talk to like Javin on the level about like what I'm going through, because like that's who I can speak to.
But I think that's also a grown man thing as well.
Most definitely. Yeah. But like for example, what I'm saying is that like me speaking to lots of girls, that's what I was comfortable with. I'm still comfortable in talking to girls now. It doesn't mean that I should stop talking to girls simply because like someone doesn't like it. That's who I am.
Did you have to have a period of where you didn't talk to girls though to kind of transition yourself over to the light side?
I was actually see-through with my best friends, and obviously like me deepening that, like if I have a girl and I'm still speaking to my, if I have a best friend, a girl who's a best friend, my girl ain't gonna like that. Are you mad?
No one's
gonna like that, but no one should like that. Because obviously, like, you've got that whole notion, isn't like, yo, if you're speaking to that girl on a level where, like, you're going to her when you're angry and with your missus there, it's gonna be a problem. You're very transparent with her. Because anything could happen when you're very, very comfortable with sex.
Yeah,
so obviously, that's why I said, like, kind of like, blank it all out and kind of like, yo, let me go. One day I just said, yo, one day let me go to Javin here, let me see what he's saying. And like, the conversation was that blessed that it was like, yo, I can do this on a regular basis now. You know what I mean?
But well, like, it's that because you've never done it, you didn't know that was ever going to happen.
Nah,
I think
definitely.
Some people will go through life never having done it, so they won't know that it's calm and they'll just stay only speaking to females, or they'll just keep it into themselves and you know, end up depressed or something.
I do think initially though, it is easier to speak to females about your feelings just in general, innit? You get me?
But it's dangerous. It's very dangerous.
It
could be dangerous.
It could be dangerous, innit? Like, you know what I've found with that? You just need to know your boundaries, innit? You get me? And I've had to learn, you know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, you just know your boundaries, innit? And, yeah, I don't think, especially, like,
Go on.
I think, especially, like, if you're married, I think having a girl best friend, I can see how it can work. Like,
You can?
I can, 100%.
Huh?
She has to be both of our best friends.
Yeah, true.
But I'm talking about it from the sense of, she was your friend last first, innit? Yeah, you get me, kind of thing.
That still can't work.
That still can't work, bro.
But you know what?
No, I'm not saying it as like, I've never had a girl best friend.
Yeah.
Never.
Trust me, don't do it.
Like, I've had friends that were girls that are around me that are very close, and I was single in a relationship now, but I've still got the man them. You get me? Like, certain men just have girl. I've never had that in my life ever.
I agree now.
It's not necessary. Don't jump on me, man.
Sorry.
All right, cool. I think what I was going to ask next was, is there like a hidden portion of your identity that you don't show people? We kind of touched on it with the... What is that like? Trying to pick at you, man.
What's your dark side?
You know what? You know what? Right? You know what's interesting about that question? I'm trying to do what Justin was talking about. So that, you know, like, I find a person or a group of people who I know are solid, and I think subconsciously we do it anyway, because you subconsciously would have been looking at Javin and been saying, you know what, he's a solid one, you know, he's like, he's a top guy, he keeps himself to himself, he's trustworthy, he's always showing me love, you know what I'm saying? So then when it came to the point where you considered it, all those things came into your mind and you was like, yeah, this is a safe space, you get me?
Definitely.
Let me run things.
Man loved to run that word around, you know. Safe space, bro.
Safe space.
There's no safe space online, bro. I'll tell you that, bro, from now.
So
there's no safe space online, bro.
So I've made sure that I don't have that secret identity, because that's what makes me feel like I'm not living in my true identity. The fact that I've got some next place that only I know about and no one else does. So I make sure that I've got my bridges that I can speak to and be yo, this is what's going on inside my head. You know, I had to have a couple. I had to have a couple of real conversations with the man them this year, and it's only February.
No, I shouldn't laugh so hard.
Sorry, Lily. I hear that one because, like, I feel like there's too much times where, like, we as even definitely SDAs, where like we have like this notion that like people are gonna, if we do tell our secrets, people are gonna judge us.
Yeah,
that's why like it's kind of a thing where like you just have to. Blank out what?
But
what
the thing is,
what do you mean, Yuan?
I don't judge people. Yeah, you do. Everyone judges something, bro. Judgment is part of life, bro.
Can I just say, I don't feel like I judge people because, like, if I feel like I'm judging someone, I'll tell them straight.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. No, I don't think that's a bad thing, but I think we need to get from this because certain people like walk around and say like, oh, I don't judge nobody. I don't judge nobody for this or whatever. But if you don't judge nobody, what's your like barometer or compass? That's what I think anyway. I'm starting to reconsider why people say that.
My compass is like, if I can't say it to the person, then I shouldn't say it at all. You know what I mean? You can't save two masters. My mom was always saying it.
Nah, you know what though? The reason why you can't keep the both eventually, but what you can do is find a way to pimp the thing that you're doing.
Exactly, to support the thing.
But people go about it two different ways. You can either cut it off, have that wilderness time and then redo it, or you can stick with it. Because think about it, the development is going to happen either way.
Nah, definitely, so definitely.
Ask your question and then I'll answer
Camilla. Camilla.
How do you say it?
Camila.
Go on. Really loud, but say it on the mic, though. But it's good because then you can hear the question and the answer.
Now it's all about podcast business.
Go on, say it.
No, Justin.
Just talk.
All right, Justin, you ask her a question then. What's the question?
Say what you're going to say.
Can you really do the two? Because I feel like at some point, something.
Nah, I don't think they're saying do the two. I think he's more saying like, as in, you've got a gospel artist. Like you're saying, like, as in, focus it down to a gospel thing.
No,
I don't think those people are really.
Are you saying that? I don't know.
I'm saying, don't cut it off. I'll give you an example. When I was in church, I was still listening to grime. I was still listening to hip hop. I was still listening when drill came hot on the scene. I was listening to drill. Still listening to a little bit of drill. Can't lie. What am I lying for?
Same.
You said that a little bit quiet though.
She didn't back in fully.
But here's the thing is, right? When I'm doing that stuff, Jesus sees my heart anyway. And if I like it, right? Why am I going to stop it? And if I stop it and I still like it,
why not listen to Hope Dealers?
I'm saying you can go about it two ways because you can cut it off, right? And then wait for God to change your heart. But let's not go on like people's whole direction hasn't changed and become completely indoctrinated because of something that the church told them to do. That's the other extreme. I'm saying let the Holy Spirit work with you, and the Holy Spirit can work with you. Think about how many times you've been in the club and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, telling you that you shouldn't be here.
And it hurts.
It hurts. And then think about how much it hurts when you stay, even though the Holy Spirit just convicted you that you should have left, right? And then you're telling me when you wake up the next morning, the Holy Spirit is like this. I ain't speaking to you. You stayed in the club. What? The Holy Spirit is still working with you. If I decided to go out and slang drugs tomorrow and then go church on Sabbath, the Holy Spirit is still with me because those words in Deuteronomy 31:6 don't change.
My mind is mad.
Get me?
The Holy Spirit's counting with you, bro.
That's why I don't like it I don't like it when people say, listen, you know, when you go there, just know that the Spirit of God waits outside. That's cap. The Holy Spirit walks in there with you. Who do you think is speaking in your head? What, you think the Holy Spirit's going to walk in there and get tainted by a girl that's walking with nothing on.
A lie, so
you
true.
You get me? So
I hear your point, though.
I hear your point, but when you said the thing about, I don't know if I'm going to repeat it, but you don't know that, my friend, but you said something about go out into the wilderness, then come back when
right.
you're ready.
Right.
I don't agree with that. Because if I know that I shouldn't be doing it,
right.
I'll
be honest, I'm very tempted by Turtle Bay. Do you know what I mean? But that doesn't mean that
I was going to say something mad, but I'm sure.
That should go have cocktails, live my best life because I know, you know, I can come back.
Yeah, but if someone...
That's a
bit... See, I agree with Venom, because I always say this all the time, like, if you're going to do something, do it 100%.
Do it.
And if, like, if you die, just know the consequences.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's
understood, but it's kind of like...
It's taking liberty.
When I do wrong, I know.
It's taking liberties.
It is taking liberties.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean that we don't do it because.
But the whole. But think about it, Key. But here's the thing: when you're taking those liberties, who is it? If think about this, if it's so easy for me to do what I'm doing in the first place, but then the Holy Spirit is the only thing that makes me repentant, even if it's to just go back and do it again. Right.
It hurts, bro.
Imagine if that Holy Spirit wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be calm.
Now look at the lesser of the two evils now. The Holy Spirit will work with you every single time, mm-hmm. right? Because A is who God is. If you look at the 10 plagues of Egypt, I studied this out recently.
I was going to jump in.
Every single time, even though God knew that Pharaoh's heart wouldn't be repentant, he forgave him every single time he turned back to Moses and said, ask for repentance 10 times. Why? Because God's principle works that way. But
he's ready.
No, but right. he ran up there. And went,
because here's the thing. It's that guilt that's going to make you say, do you know what? I do this every single time. And every single time God forgives me. Every single time he just keeps on bringing his blessings.
Come on now.
Come on out.
So now, if I do change, right? Yeah. If I do change... God knows that it has to be based on an experience between because God is still blessing me though. Even in the open rebellion, God is blessing me. If he withholds the blessing until you come back, you could have just wanted the blessing. But he knows if you come back, then it's purely because you wanted a relationship with him. That's love.
I agree with you, but there's also a point where you come back. Like even Pharaoh, the example you
One
use.
Second, Avi.
When they went through the Red Sea, that was the end of the line for Pharaoh. There was no repenting then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's always a point where enough is enough. And I think...
Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly. That's the natural consequence.
You know what I'm saying? It's very dangerous to go with the mindset that, oh, God's always going to forgive
it
me.
It is.
So I'm just going to do what I like anyway.
Yeah.
And take it for granted that I'm going to come back. Because it could be a case where you don't come back.
But I agree.
Do you know what I mean?
But I agree. But if that was... If that was the principle that God was working by, then he would withhold his Holy Spirit, but he doesn't. You see, God knows that that thinking is dangerous, but he still doesn't withhold his Holy Spirit.
To a point.
No.
To a
point. No. This is indoctrination.
I agree. I'll say why.
It's not to a point. God.
So I will say, the way I see it is, 100%, if we do wrong, God does not immediately remove his spirit from... does not immediately remove his spirit from us,
mm-hmm.
but there comes a point when he does withdraw his spirit. So
where's the text?
I'm gonna come to it in a second. So I'll first outline it and then I'll say the text. So for example, there's a reason why David asked for the spirit to be renewed. So he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." There's Ellen White says in on page 36 of Great Controversy, it's the first chapter of Great Controversy.
Mm.
She says something like, the spirit persistently resisted is at last withdrawn from the sinner until there is left no strength, words to that effect, to resist the devil.
Right.
So, but I haven't said a text yet, really, that says it. So, mm-hmm.
but
Genesis 6.
Mm-hmm. But you're mm-hmm.
Genesis 6
mm-hmm.
is about the flood, and I think it's around verse 3
mm-hmm.
says something like, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, yet his day shall be 120 years,
mm-hmm.
And then the flood will come."
Absolutely.
But, so all I'm, but what I'm saying is,
but that's not the same point, though.
But all my point is entirely this, like, mm-hmm. is entirely
is just either we like Joshua and Elijah asked people to either walk wholly with God,
right,
or wholly wholly against God.
Right.
He said, we cannot waver between two opinions.
Right.
What I want to understand is, right, are you saying when we walk with God? No, let me make my point first, and then I'll ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have the sense that when we walk with God,
mm-hmm, it has to be all or nothing.
Yeah, but yeah, also, like, things may not be instant or immediate. So, like, say if there's a behavior that I want to change, it, mm-hmm, may not. It may be a struggle, and it may be a struggle for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that the change happens in cooperation. It's us cooperating with God, so absolutely, that the changes us saying, Lord, I surrender to you, mm-hmm, and to what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's him who works in our hearts to change that.
Absolutely. But
I'm trying to understand what then.
So where I come in through there, okay, is what I'm saying is, you see where you see certain people, that's the initiation. And God is just waiting for them to transition from where they are halting between two opinions to all on his side. And the only way you can do that, and I cannot stress this enough, is if you keep your love as an option. If God withdraws his love as an option, then there is only that. Do you hear what I'm saying? So God has to wait there. As imagine, you've got the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the parable of the prodigal son, to illustrate just how faithful God is in waiting for us to come back or going after us. That doesn't stop. But the ideal is that you either are hot or cold, because it's easier for even yourself to measure where you are and for God to have it's still not going to change his mind about you. He still loves you and he's still going to come after you. His spirit doesn't change, but you can't halt between two opinions, because then you're just running around confused for the rest of your life. That's for our benefit.
I think the problem came because it sounded, what you're saying now is true,
right,
but it sounded when you first made the point, I don't know if anyone agrees, that it was okay to be lukewarm.
That's how it
sounded when you first said it.
But
we got a bit like, but it's not all right to be lukewarm, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But now that you've explained it, it makes sense.
Because the lukewarm, because you have to live it out, and it has to look like something. So while someone is lukewarm, God is still not giving up on you. But it's like, what does that look like? Well, it looks like me doing both of those things at the same time. But here's the thing. I'm factoring in society or a church society looking at that person and saying, nah, man, they're washed.
We're done.
But hang on. Mm. You find them in these places, though. If they're completely washed, then why are they there at all?
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't look at them like that. And it mm-hmm. goes back to my point about identity. See, I realized that I was speaking it from the God version rather than from me version.
Mm.
See, when I look at myself, my identity is in my sin. And when I've changed, that is my new identity. But God don't look at me like that. God looks at me like, the things that you were doing was just what you was doing. And you've been this guy because I look at you like a perfect creature who I want to remake in that image. So it's almost like a reversion back to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
See, okay. So
yeah,
that's what I realized. And I realized that ages ago, but this point just bring it back out.
Okay. Yeah. So we're not trying to be lukewarm then, yeah?
Nah, man, don't be lukewarm. Yeah. But if you are, don't give up, though, because God hasn't.
Yeah. I like that still.
Nice ending.
I like that.
Nice ending.
Just drop the mic and walk away, man.
All right, cool. This is going to be the last question.
In conclusion.
Oh, okay. What Justin said.
Did not write essay, brother.
Huh?
Never mind, go on.
Mr. PEE, nah, you know.
Listen. Fam, I don't even know. But,
Self-worth.
Yeah, self-worth and identity.
How does it impact your identity?
How does it impact it? How does it affect it? When I thought about that question, I think, again, external forces can obviously impact on the way how you think about yourself, whether that be people you go to school with or outside stuff, the way how society thought back then. So I wanted to get everyone's thoughts on how self-worth and identity work.
Okay, I'm gonna go back like a bit, because obviously my self-worth wasn't really there in like till I was probably 20. So obviously when I was was I 20? Yeah, 20. Just passed my driving test. Boom, bam. Just crashed my car as well. No, I'm joking, but it's a thing where obviously if like my brother wasn't who he was. Like, because obviously I was always living like in the shadow of my brother, I feel like, anyway. Or the church members would make me feel like that. I would feel like I was living in the shadow of my brother. Because obviously you have like this perfect guy wearing suits to church, wearing shoes, shoes. But yeah, wearing all of that stuff, yeah. But then like when it comes to me, it's like, oh, yeah, obviously he's this guy. But obviously my self-worth came from me basically realizing that, I mean, I am my own person, like. I mean, I'm gonna stay unapologetic. I don't care what people think about me. I don't really. Who are you? You're just an SDA. I'm an SDA. You're nothing compared to who I am. That's what I believe, though. Placebo.
Oh, I see.
Has to be. It's not real, but placebo. But like, it's a thing where like, how it's impacted me now. Like, as in, I've done way more stuff than I would have done if I was like still in that shadow of like, who the church wanted me to be, then rather who like I wanted myself to be. Like, I wouldn't have went to uni, I probably would have stayed in JD, in honesty, facts. Because like I lived my life there, like as in people say that they don't like it there, but I kind of loved it, if that made sense. Kind of loved it to the fact that I was working like full time. But then like obviously me actually going to uni, but I actually didn't want to go uni, but I went to uni anyway and I kind of stuck out. And obviously I didn't like, yeah, and even saying that, I didn't really go to my graduation because like that's not the type of person who I am. Like, I'm not really a celebratory person. Is that the right word?
Yeah, no, come on.
Yeah, I'm not really a celebratory person. So the fact that I could like finish my university degree and like kind of have that mad accomplishment, even though I don't want to do anything in it, but still having that accomplishment is like mad to me. Like, as in, like, it's a mad thing, and it's had like a massive impact, even on like the things that I'm doing now. Literally, right now, this whole podcast thing. Wouldn't really think that I'll come back to church and all of that. But yeah, like, I'm blessed. Blessed to be here, blessed to be alive, man.
Oh, Justin, warm up.
Stay calm.
So cute.
So cute, you know.
Nah, I like that.
Bloody
like
SDA that. People, man.
I'm trying to think of like an instance where like, I'm really trying to think here.
Self-worth. Just re-say the question.
So like, it was just literally self-worth and identity. Like, when has your self-worth either been affected? How has it affected your identity? What's the impact it's had basically on your identity?
Okay, let me, I'll go. I think, for me, my self-worth changed when I realised what God wanted for me. Because when I thought I knew what I wanted for myself, I think I was quite happy with where I were.
That black country accent.
Wow. Justin Lawitz. I was happy with where I was. I don't want me thinking about silly stuff. Obviously, where I was wasn't exactly a great place, but I can't say that I wasn't happy or that I didn't have self-worth. When I came to church, started coming to church, and it was bad because I just looked at other people and be like, oh, is this how I need to be? Like, even though,
yeah,
Lyndon, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now you look at other people and you think, I ain't got nothing in my wardrobe that's long enough. I ain't got nothing in my wardrobe that's baggy enough. Lord, I ain't got nothing in my wardrobe. So,
I was going to ask a question, but.
It's a difficult one because I thought I was doing great. I felt like I had my life kind of lined up, like I was set for a good career. I had money, I had a nice car, like everything you need outside. I had, but then I came in here, I was like, oh, I need more. I gotta read and study. It's true, because what I had was good for out there, didn't mean nothing in here, if that made sense.
Yeah,
and I feel like as myself, I feel like, did I say that? No, Max as well. Anyway, when I started to look not at other people in the church, but towards God, I was thinking, okay, this is not so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Changing wasn't so hard.
Mm.
But looking to other people, I think there's that facade that everybody puts on, that they have this perfect relationship that they with God, that they are perfect, that they don't do any wrong, and that pressure as a newbie takes your self-worth from here underneath the concrete.
Did other people put that on you, or was it just perception?
Is it
other people? Was it
a bit of both?
Yeah,
it is a bit of both, because
just through demonstration, rather than
the things people say that you don't realise you're saying. USDAs, we SDAs, us SDAs.
Go on.
For example, E.G.
You just make some comments that you shouldn't make, but I understand, because now that I am where I am, I also find myself doing it, and I think that's rude. You didn't like that when it was you. Do you know what I mean?
No, say it, because people need to know.
Give an example of one, so that, like, how not to say, or what would be the right way to say.
Okay, so I'm wearing something that you don't think is appropriate for church. Pull me and say, I don't know what you could say, but just tell me politely that maybe you don't think that this skirt is appropriate, right? This is not something that's happened to me, but
I don't feel like guys can do that, though.
Aunties.
What's the wrong way to do it?
The wrong way is to say, do you think that's appropriate?
In E.G. White.
Sister Ellen, the amount of times I was told to just go and read this, and while you're looking at my skirt, you're telling me, go and read this. Come on, find your manners. Do you know what I mean? So I think your self-worth does drop until you realise who you personally want to be, because at the same time, I could look to everybody else and decide that my hair's natural right now, but it's not always, you see me with my wig on, but if I took what I see from other people, I would never wear it at all, or I would never wear makeup, or I would dress like everybody else. I still don't dress like everybody else, because that's not me.
Yeah. Go down south, you join in.
So,
that was so shady to the south people.
It was.
It's true, though. Guys ain't complaining.
I'm saying nothing, guys. It wasn't me. It was just me. Yeah, it's one of those sticky situations. I don't know if it is for guys. It seems like you lot can't get it wrong. But for us,
I think you can get it wrong.
It's
hard to get it wrong.
There's way more.
Everyone wants to be church whatever he wants. But then again, Cameron's been there all his life. But still.
We don't get the same.
I'm not shaming, I'm just saying that you
don't get the same.
Church whatever you like.
Nah, his trousers are a bit tight sometimes. I hear that. Nah, but the thing is, we...
He told several times that his were tight.
Nah, exactly. But the thing is, I feel like we as men, we don't really get told as much, because, like, no one wants to tell us.
Don't come to me.
Yeah. And if it goes,
I will. Don't come and tell me what I should be wearing, bro.
To this day, I'm still waiting for someone to tell me about my hair. I'm still waiting.
They love the dreads one.
But I've been told about my hair.
Really?
No, but that's what I'm saying. Girls are like,
people just tell girls.
All you need to do, because when they're talking about wigs, half the people in church anyway wear wigs anyway, bro.
I've
not heard anyone say anything about wigs, but I've heard people say about the length of a wig.
Really?
But fair enough, it is touching down the bottom of my back.
But I have been told that's really long.
What's that got to do with anything?
Unless I'm touching, I know that it's long. I'm thinking,
to me, I wouldn't mind it so much. Like, when I've been told about what, like, for example, my mum would, like, usually it'd be my parents, but some, like...
My mum tells me every... When church was going on, my mum would tell me, you need to... It was Ivy. Mine was bad, though. Mine was like, you need to iron your jumper. And
but you know what, though? It should be your parents, though.
Linda, what about when you ain't got that?
Like, to me, yeah. I think... I agree with you about the manner in which it's done. And I always think it should be, like... It's always nicer when it's someone close or someone like, but I would be like, it's happened to me, and I personally would be comfortable. I want to be told, like, I personally would want to be told.
Even people that know me,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Don't come to me and tell me about what I'm wearing. I like what I'm wearing. I'm all right.
Yeah, but what if? Yeah,
but I don't care though. I don't care.
But is that
your camera.
Even if I like you,
I know,
you could be one of the church aunties I like.
No, fairness.
Yeah, but like, is that?
to me, that, like, I don't know, that
you gonna buy me new trousers? Go away then.
No one tells me anything.
I get what you're saying.
Cameron comes to the church in school clothes, but
calm.
No one tells me anything though when I come in jeans.
Yeah, calm.
Because no one can tell me nothing.
Maybe it's because.
Nah, they used to when I was younger, but like it's
definitely that.
But females are. It's so sorry for females. You're cheeky.
It's definitely, but.
But at youth days, we all love to see it. That's what I'm saying. We ain't complaining. The guys ain't complaining. I'm just saying. At youth days, we love to see it.
I love modesty.
Shut up, Cameron. Shut up, everyone. I mean, you too, man. You too, man. I know you there on stage looking at the people. That's my wife right there. Bro, stay calm, but then you look down as well. You know what I mean?
That's why he closes his eyes every time he sings, bro.
My thing is
a dirty mind's a dirty mind, isn't it? So yeah. You can bro, of course it is, bro.
No, but you don't have a dirty mind to
you don't have to cast yourself
to a certain degree, bro. A certain girl are just built a certain way, innit?
Gonna be a man, so
alright then, that's what I'm trying to say. So
but what I'm saying is, like, sometimes
we put I think we put too much onus on women, to be honest.
But I would put that onus on anyone, like,
no, but you wouldn't know, but you don't.
Okay, no, let me ask you like this.
It's mad because all of this ain't going in. But go on.
Fair enough.
Go on.
To me, there's something crazy about
a big bottom.
No.
Man said bunda.
Get it, spit it out, man. You take your time.
Okay, hold up. There's a verse which I can't recall from the top of my head, which says
cheeks.
We should not make ourselves a stumbling block to other people.
I knew you was gonna.
Yeah, we know them verses, but you need to have self control at the end of the day.
I'm not denying have self control. I'm not saying that. Part of my self control is to close my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, look up so to the hills. I hear that stuff.
But certain times, you know what? Certain times I've looked at a girl, I've been like, yo, she's fire. But after that, bro,
can't do anything about that.
What I'm saying is.
Nah, but sometimes the thoughts reside for.
That's you, though, Cameron. Someone might not be as strong.
That's what I'm saying.
Nah, but you don't start off that way, though. But the thing is about guys, we all have different standards. We all have different standards, though. And we all, like, man will watch porn, like, the day before, bruv, and then be complaining about girls, what they're wearing. You was watching porn the day before, so of course that's going to happen.
It's because they're wearing nothing from porn, though.
This is an exaggeration, but you don't expect to see porn in church.
Ooh. But you're not seeing porn in church, though.
No.
I just said it to make the point that, like.
Yeah, but that's
so. That's the
point. My point is,
yeah, but you don't have to be there. You don't have to be there the day before or have that mindset where you're like a sexually controlled person can still go on some of them youth days and still be tempted, bro.
I think you can be tempted by a sexy girl. A sexy girl is a sexy girl, isn't it?
Yeah, but the thing is, there's no platter. You get me? If you see a girl's always going to be sexy anyway, whether you put her in a curtain or a tight fit dress, she's sexy,
very true,
bro. You get me?
Okay.
So what's the last question? Is
your identity grounded in, your self-worth, sorry. What is your self-worth grounded in?
In the Holy Spirit.
That's the nice answer. I think God is definitely, I think at the, another thing that's in there is family, especially like, because I was watching something even this week and it was talking about your name is the only thing that kind of stays the same and sometimes even that changes, isn't it? Because it was kind of talking about our identity constantly changes and what is it actually based in? Is it based in memories that we had? Is it based in aspirations that we might have had? Because it's talking about our bodies, like, our bones are constantly changing, those regenerate or whatever. So by the time you're a baby till you're older, you're a completely different person. Mm-hmm. But then who are you kind of thing. So, yeah, that's what.
And your self-worth?
My self-worth definitely comes from God. I remember my mum saying to me, yo, you are black and comely. You get me? Power to the people. She always used to say that to me still. So that's definitely stuck with me. I think that's probably the text that And that's the song with Solomon Tex Disaster. Yeah. Yeah, I'm black and comely.
Come on, King. You speak that, King.
You get me? Brother, I went into one of those clubhouse chats, you know. Oh my gosh, it's mad.
Yo, we celebrate mad.
I swear, didn't you tell me I like one of them, fam?
Yeah, you do, bro. I told you, you put your dreads up. The black man is God.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Yo. You know, for me, I think both self-worth and identity is rooted in salvation.
Okay, yeah.
And the reason why my identity is rooted in salvation is because I'm not anybody. I'm not anything. I'm not anyone if it's not for Jesus. And I have got a new identity now because the things that I would have done before, had he not have sacrificed, would be just so much different. And I'd be a completely different person. And my self-worth is rooted in salvation because it's interesting. I was having a discussion yesterday with the mandem, and salvation is so much more than just forgiveness and grace. It's like the epitome of salvation is God wants to put me and restore me to everything I would have been in a perfect setting. So my self-worth is based on the potential to be everything that I can be in God. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So everything he wants me to be, my potential that he sees in me, where he wants me to be, where he sees I can be by grace through salvation, that's where my self-worth is based. Because if I look at my situation now, it's easy to just for me to say, yo, you're Billy Mitchell, fam. You get me? But like the way and the plan, like everyone quotes Jeremiah 29:11 in it, right? I know the plans that God has for me. But if we really knew, right, faith, you'd be doing leaps and bounds because I'm in harmony with what God thinks about me now.
Mm.
So I'm moving different.
Yeah.
You see?
I think when I did a Bible study recently, and we was talking about being meek and the links to what actually meek means, and it's strength under control. That's one of the offshoots of what it means, and it. So I kind of been identifying with that, like, okay, it doesn't mean like it means gentle and all these other things, but I think as well being Christian, we can often think of ourselves as just being like soft and stuff like that, but when you actually deep that quote, like strength under control, mm-hmm. when you're submitting to something that's actually more powerful than you, God could take you out right now.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't mind. So I think that's what's crept into what I want to be my identity.
Mm.
If no one has anything else to say, then we'll lock it off.
I remember thinking that just recently, obviously in the pandemic, I say recently, it's definitely been a year, but how long yet? I felt like I'd kind of cemented my position in like being at SDA, like I knew who I was and my self-worth was growing in this new person that I wanted to be. And then through the... in the past year, it's like my self-worth's got a bit shaky again.
Mm.
Because I've sat having so much time to think and so much time to myself that I'm now like, wait, maybe I'm not doing what God wants me to be doing.
Mm.
So now I feel like I'm taking a whole career shift because I'm like, actually, I think God wants this for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like even when you get a bit comfy and you're like, okay, I've cemented my self-worth, I know that it's when I'm happy and where God wants me and I'm going down that path, God will just throw you off and be like, actually, change the plan.
Salvation. We had this discussion because we've got like a men's group and we kind of discussed these things. And a verse came up in Psalms 37, verse 4. So when I was looking at that, I was thinking to myself, if...
Cameron, you're rich, but you can pay for that.
I was going to say that, you know. You're rich, you can pay for it. or whatever.
So if I delight myself in the Lord, then he will give me what I want. Do you see? Because my desires have changed. So it's like we were saying, you, like,
changed
we...
to God's desires.
Say again.
And they've changed in a way to God's desires.
Right. But here's the thing. God's desires are so broad. Mm. Right. Think about this. Is it God's will for you to make your bed in the morning? Yeah. Because there's no middle ground, you know. There's either God's will or there's not.
Yeah.
Right. Does God want you to, is it God's will, sorry, to say good morning to someone? Because, like, and the reason why those little things are so important, Philippians, I think it's 4:13, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, da 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 da, and he goes on, if there be any virtue, like any at all, if there be any praise, think on those things. Because those little things can have big, big consequences, mm-hmm. right? Mm. So it's like, I only... Jonathan, call him the samurai, Jonathan Danzi.
Mm.
He says, yo, look at the life of Jesus. When he was a child doing his parents' bidding, as Ellen White talks about in The Desire of Ages, what do you call that ministry? When he was an adolescent and he was in Jerusalem and he was preaching to the lawyers and the doctors of the law in the synagogue, what do you call that ministry? When he was 30 and he left home, right, to go and start what we call his ministry, what do you call that ministry?
Mm.
So he turned around and he says, he is the ministry. The Spirit of God, the light of God, the power of God lives in you. Wherever you go, the kingdom of God is. Mm. So you can do anything. Your only task in this world is to glorify God. You're an ambassador for him. So if his Spirit lives in you, wherever you go, he goes. See, so then it doesn't limit your... And now you're free to choose anything because you've got a sanctified mind that says... A sanctified mind would never say, let me get a job in a strip club. Yeah. Sanctified mind ain't gonna... Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
A sanctified mind not only wants to do the right thing, but for the right reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when...
we can end on that one still.
Yeah, literally.
Beautiful. All right, cool. It's been the After Sun Down podcast. Myself, we got Justin, Alvin, Talifa right here, Lyndon, and Key.
Yay!
Bow, bow. Boom.